From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
In 1962, black artists sang gospel and blues, jazz and soul, but country? Not so much, in fact, hardly at all, until Ray Charles, 1962, and his line-crossing, big-selling, culture-blending album, Modern Sounds in Country and Western Music. He changed the game. This hour on point, Ray Charles and the great blending of American music. You can join the conversation. Does it just seem natural to you now, the way music is? Were you listening when Ray Charles crossed all the lines? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We'll hear today from a country bluegrass legend and friend of Ray, Ricky Skaggs. But with me first in the studio is Matt Glazer, composer, artistic director of the American Roots Program at Berklee College of Music, jazz and bluegrass violinist. Matt Glazer, great to have you right here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really fun.
I know you all at the Berklee College of Music in Boston just had a big Inspired by Ray symposium, having a lot of fun with this.
Unbelievable.
This guy crossed boundaries, and we hear it right here. It's jazz, but no, it's also country. What is this?
You know, I've just been spending the last year studying Ray Charles, and I feel like I've just completed my freshman year at the University of Ray Charles. I was saying to somebody yesterday, really, if you want to understand American music, all you need to do is to listen to Ray Charles. And, you know, so he's the inventor of soul music. His catalog on Atlantic Records is just extraordinary. Last night I was listening on my iPod, found new stuff that was totally mind-boggling. Great jazz musician, you know, taught Quincy Jones how to arrange for a big band. Incredible inventor of all styles of American music, and one component, and we don't want to overstate it, but one important component in his development is his relationship with country music.
Well, it's interesting because in 1962, there was a color line that still ran through music in many ways. I mean, there'd been a lot of borrowing, a lot of white borrowing from black. Elvis was there, the Beatles were getting revved up, and all the rest. But you know, here you had country music, and it just wasn't where black musicians tended to go. It was kind of white music.
But if you think of it from a socioeconomic standpoint, there are poor people who are both white and black. And Ray grew up in the South listening to the Grand Ole Opry on the radio. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that WSM, the radio station that broadcast out of Nashville, Tennessee, had a range from Cuba to Winnipeg, Manitoba. That's how strong that radio
was. So little Ray Charles would hear that.
Ray Charles in Greenville, Florida, listening to those songs. And he, in 1947, and this is one of my most interesting apocryphal stories, he played with a band called the Florida Playboys, which we assume was run by Chubby Wise, Bill Monroe's fiddle player.
Okay.
And there's actually the earliest known recording of Ray Charles doing anything with country music is him singing Bill Monroe's great Kentucky Waltz for the guys at Atlantic Records in the studio. He sang to this, check this out. Maybe we can listen to
it. We've got a little bit of that. Yes, indeed. An outtake from, this was a 1953 rehearsal session with the founder and president of Atlantic, Ahmet Erdogan there. And here's Ray, and he's saying, what about this? Let's try this. He's showing off this old 46 tune from Bill Monroe. Ray Charles, just in a rehearsal session.
Listen to this. This is just a joke. Here's the two leads to have me to sing.
Charles, in rehearsal, 1953. Here's the little blind from age six listening to the big radio station out of Nashville. He heard it, and he's trying to tell Atlantic Records, listen to this, check this out. And there it is, but you can hear him already bending it in that Ray Charles way. It is not the old style.
All of the music that he played is Ray Charles music. There really is no distinction in any of these styles. Any music that he heard, if he felt he could do it, immediately becomes Ray Charles music with this intensity of soul, every molecule of emotion present in what he's doing. So this music never gets old. I said to somebody yesterday, Ray Charles's music has the water of life in it. Something essential about human experience is in his music.
Do we know what he thought about the cultural color connotations of the music? He doesn't seem bothered at all right there. He's singing just like it's his birthright.
Check it out. He says, Ray said to somebody, The words to country songs are very earthy, like the blues, see, very down. They're not as dressed up, and the people are very honest and say, look, I miss you, darling, so I went out and I got drunk in this bar. That's the way you say it. Whereas in Tin Pan Alley, they will say, oh, I missed you, darling, so I went to this restaurant, and I sat down and I had dinner for one.
Right,
that's
right.
Cleaned up now, you see? But country songs and the blues tell it like it is.
So he saw the connection, the relation, the same family there, maybe a little different coloring on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It's an existential connection. That of human pain in a simple, direct kind of way. And Ray could also, I mean, he was like a wizard who could wear many hats emotionally, because as we'll see later on, he also could wear the Tin Pan Alley hat, you know, the Ray of Georgia on my mind. And there's really nothing in the human experience that he wasn't comfortable with.
We're looking at the modern sounds in country and western because, maybe in part because it's the 50th anniversary this year, so that makes it interesting. But he was the great blender, and he didn't just blend on country, as you say. I've got a little track here. He was very quick to go to gospel and pick up what he could pick up there. It must be Jesus. Here's the original.
Well, check this out. Yeah. They were he and Renaud Richard were driving along in a car in the mid-50s, and this song came on the radio. Late at night, and they start to sing along with it and make up alternate lyrics. I think any Ray Charles fan will recognize what we're about
to hear. This is the way America rolls, but here's the Southern tones with It Must Be Jesus.
There's a man, be Jesus, going around, be Jesus, taking names, be Jesus, oh Lord, be Jesus. No, he took my mother's name.
Okay, there it is. They're driving along in that car. They're listening to that. It Must Be Jesus, and they're having fun. And I think we should go right to it.
Yeah, check it
what
out.
Do they do with it? Here's what they do with it. Talk about Ray Charles, the blender. Here's Ray Charles, 1954, the same year as that Southern Tones tune. He comes out with his hit single, I've Got a Woman.
I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Say, I got a woman.
Ray Charles playing with the whole American palette. He did it right there with gospel. Turns into I Got a Woman. We'll look at that. He did it with country in modern sounds of country and western, 1962. Bob is calling from Austin, Texas. Bob, thanks very much for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I love your show, man. I was so excited to hear you guys talking about Ray and that country album. I was 12 years old in 1962. And my mother was dating Ray Charles' drummer, a guy named Bill Hogan.
Wow.
I was the only kid. We're talking the New Orleans Project.
Okay.
And I was the only kid in my neighborhood who had that album. And I absolutely, it's still to this day my all-time favorite Ray Charles album.
Hey, Bob, did it trip you out to hear Ray Charles, blind and black, singing country and western?
Well, it sure did trip me out, and I tried to turn some of my buddies on to it. And, of course, you think in 1962, New Orleans, Deep South, country was basically plantation music. Mm. And they were like, wow, man, look what Ray has been able to do with this music that had a completely different connotation to black in the South.
And when you say plantation music, you don't mean friendly if you're black in New Orleans.
No, I meant, plantation / Ku Klux Klan.
That's a big slash. Hey, Bob, I'm so glad for your call. I mean, there it is. He was there in 1962, mom dating the drummer in the band, and everybody in his neighborhood, projects in New Orleans, to hear Ray Charles sing this music. It was a big deal.
Well, after that Kentucky Waltz we listened to, the first documented evidence of Ray doing country music was while he was on Atlantic, he did Hank Snow's I'm Moving On. And then he moved. There was this tremendous break in his career where he moved to ABC Paramount and had Georgia On My Mind, a huge hit. And he told the guys at ABC Paramount, I want to do a country record. They thought he had lost his mind. Ray, nobody wants to hear a soul singer do country music. Yeah. He sent the A&R guy, Sid Feller, down to Nashville. They collected about 200 tunes, eventually winnowed them down to about 12. And Ray got the great arrangers, Marty Paich and Gil Fuller and Gerald Wilson, and said, arrange these like this. He was very specific about what he wanted. I want this kind of line here. And the sessions were done with big bands and strings in New York and L.A. So there's nothing country about these records. They were not done in Nashville. There were no country instruments on them.
Except they're country tunes.
They're country songs. Mm-hmm. But Ray had this vision of how to expand them emotionally. So he's playing with all of our preconceptions. Rural elements become urban elements. Mm-hmm. White elements become black elements.
I want to come back and look at those arrangements because parts of them are so sweet. Amazing. It's way, way not in the hills. We're talking this hour about Ray Charles and the blending of American musics. Matt Glazer is with us from the Berklee College of Music, director of the American Roots Music Program there. You can join the conversation. Does it just seem natural to you now, the blending of gospel, jazz, R&B, and soul? Can you imagine, do you remember the time when it was culturally, racially, musically bold, when a black man singing, changing country and western was kind of shocking? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I can't help loving you, the big, big song off that album, 1962. I'm Tom Ashbrook with Matt Glazer. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
It's useless to say, so I'll just live my life of dreams of yesterday.
Of yesterday's.
Just a little loving, yeah, will go a long way. Well,
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Ray Charles and the blending of American musics 50 years after the release of his line-crossing album, Modern Sounds in American Country and Western Music, and Country and Western. You can join the conversation this hour. Does it all just seem natural to you now? Can you imagine when it... Can you remember, I guess, when it didn't seem that way? Do you hear the melding going on in Ray Charles? Do you hear the walls coming down? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK with Matt Glazer of the Berklee College of Music. Big symposium there last weekend, inspired by Ray. He's in with us today, director of the American Roots Music Program there. And with us right now in the studio, we're so glad to have him, Alonzo Harris, singer, musician, arranger, piano man, professor of music at Berklee College of Music. He arranged and performed at Berklee's Ray Charles Inspired by Ray Symposium. Alonzo, great to have you right here.
Great to be here.
And lifelong fan of Ray Charles, is true?
That is very true.
And Georgia man, is
yes,
that true?
Yes, I'm a Georgia boy all the way from the Clay Hills, red Clay Hills of Georgia.
All right.
So I might add.
Very glad to have you right here. Thanks so much for coming in. So, does the fact of Ray Charles, here you are, a music man up in the north, but a Georgia boy, does he help you keep your southernness alive just by the walls he broke down, by the way he put things together?
Actually, he does. You know, we lost Ray a few years back, mm-hmm. but his music keeps him alive. So he lives well within my soul.
And maybe, that's good. And maybe gives you a little latitude right there. These are some great songs, and we're going to hear some more back-to-back. I Can't Help Loving You was the big single off this album, sort of broke it out. Remind us of how that happened,
Matt. I Can't
Matt.
Stop Loving You was done by Don Gibson originally. And, you know, I don't know if you remember, these things called LP records were physical objects.
Oh, yeah, the frisbee size, pizza size.
And, and the weakest link, the weakest place on an album was thought to be the second to last track on the B side.
Yeah. Dump it in there.
Yeah, dump it in. So they thought I Can't Stop Loving You was the weakest song on the album. Oh, it's filler. We'll just put it on the second to last thing. So they put the album out, and a guy named Tab Hunter covered Ray's version of the song note for note and copied it. And the guys noticed that Tab Hunter's version was starting to sell like hotcakes.
Yeah.
So the record guys called Ray. He was on the road and said, you got to put out a single of this But the album track was 4 minutes and 9 seconds long, too long for a single.
Yeah.
Ray called Sid Feller, the A&R guy, who was at home about to leave to go to his Passover Seder.
Okay.
And he said, get in the studio right now.
And he was a hands-on guy, Ray. He knew exactly what he was talking about here.
He was in charge. He was like a general.
Yeah.
And so Sid said to his wife, honey, I can't go to the Seder at my mom's house. I got to go.
Ray said, cut it down to single length.
And Ray had ideas about exactly where to make these edits. So Sid went into the studio, but he couldn't do Ray's edits because there were strings on the front end of the edit and no strings on the back end.
Okay.
So Sid just made up his own edit, trimmed it down. Immediately, Ray's version became a massive hit. The album became a massive hit, the largest selling album of that year, largest selling single of that year, the largest selling album and single in Ray's career up until The Genius Loves Company.
No less than Willie Nelson says that this album did more for country music than any one artist has ever done. We'll talk about why, but I've got to ask you, Alonzo, because, you know, in my childhood, some of these songs, that one included, became like music. I mean, it was on all over the place. And those strings that Matt mentions at the top of so many of these songs, and sometimes it's that vocal chorus, it's so white, it's so syrupy.
Yeah.
What's that doing there on top of Mr. Soul Man Ray Charles?
Well, I think it was very intentional, though, because that helped with the crossover intent of what he was trying to do. In fact, you know, because he was considered this genius, which I think is a very appropriate term for him. And he said once, speaking of Sid, Ray says, if I'm a genius, then Sid is an Einstein.
Okay.
Because they had such a relationship. Even sometimes Sid, if he had ideas, Ray would sing things and Sid would just kind of copy him. Because he traveled with Ray as well, you know, as a conductor. At some point, and they were kind of this pair, or you might want to say odd couple, so to speak. So, but it worked because the way you said the sappy strings and so forth that helped with the despair and the longing of the padding that Ray needed with that raspy, soulful voice.
Almost set up the contrast.
Yeah, it set up the contrast very eloquently.
What do you say, Matt? A gangway up onto this ship for white audiences, or sort of a good contrast point for him to play off of?
Yeah, they're functioning like a Greek chorus. And you know, for instance, on I Can't Stop Loving You, da-da-da-da, with a broken heart, Ray responds. With a broken heart, they sing it square, then he responds. So they sing it in a square way, then Ray comes in and kills you with it. And it works actually better because when you hear something that's not so soulful, you realize how intensely soulful his singing and playing
is. Let's go to Nick in New Hampton, Virginia. Nick, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm actually a working musician. I play guitar. I've been 40 years I've been playing, and my comment was, I think it's the whole thing about labeling songs and the genres and whatnot. I can play a country song at a jazz gig, something like Crazy or All of Me, you know, the old Patsy Cline stuff or Willie Nelson. And likewise, I can go to a Moose Lodge or an Elks, which is basically country, and get away with Stardust and some of the old big band stuff. And it's not an issue of crossover. It's more like melody recognition. And the less I say about it before I play the song, then when I play the song, you can see that the people like it.
I love this.
I love what you're saying, because really these genres were made up by guys in suits at record companies to try to market things to people. Remember the days of brick and mortar stores? You had to put the record somewhere, so let's put the record in a bin that says country. Here's another bin called blues.
Well, true, but they were also made up in hills in different parts of the hills.
Yeah, but people made decisions. Like, they created something called race records to sell to poor black people. They created something called hillbilly records to sell to poor white people. And Ray demonstrates that the radio was the great leveler, because people listened to whatever was on the radio regardless of the marketing.
Nick, thanks for your call. Matt, Alonzo, let's put a couple of those back-to-back just to see what Ray Charles did with one. Here's his Hank Williams, 1952, with a lot of country twang, something Ray Charles was listening to in 52, 10 years before the album we're talking about. Here's Hank Williams with the tune Half As Much.
I love you. You wouldn't worry me half as much as you do. You're nice.
Okay. Okay, there's Hank Williams, 1962. The twang is on full bore. There's no question where this is coming from. Let's just turn it right around and go to 1962. And Ray Charles, his version, half as much.
Well, if you'd love me half as much as I love you, you couldn't worry me half as much as you do.
Ray Charles with half as much. Boy, that's bold, and that's not sappy with the horns there.
No, that's more of a big band arrangement that got going on there. But
he's just stretching it out into new territory.
Oh yeah, that's very much getting digging deep into creativity there, and saying, okay, I'm going to look at this painting, mm-hmm. and I'm going to change the perspective of the painting and get like a new meaning of the picture. You know, because I always talk about perspective and spectrum. I can't see what's up on the other side of the wall
yes.
unless I go over and see it. So he actually gives you a different view of, you know, of something, different perspective of something.
It's hard to even hear it as country, though. We just heard Hank Williams sing it.
I heard this quote yesterday about the painter Jasper Johns. He said, creativity is you start with something, then you do something to that,
right.
and then you do something else to that, and then
right.
pretty soon you've got something. So Ray started with this kernel in... In every case, these tempos are slower.
Yeah.
You know, so the original country versions were moving along, and then Ray slowed them down so that you could really mm-hmm. make them sexy and soulful. And
Mac Glazer, Alonzo Harris, please stand by. I am very happy to say we have with us right now from Nashville, Tennessee, Ricky Skaggs.
Woo!
14-time Grammy-winning country bluegrass singer-songwriter, performed with legends like Johnny Cash, Emmylou Harris, and... Ray Charles collaborated with Ray Charles on the title track of his 1984 album, Friendship. He's out with a new album this week. It is Music to My Ears. Ricky Skaggs, it is so great to have you to talk about Ray Charles with us. Thank you so much for being here.
One of my favorite subjects.
Well, tell us about it. What was it like, you country man, bluegrass man, to sit and play with Ray?
Well, I tell you, I tell everybody that you might get a Ray Charles once in a century, mm-hmm. you know. And we had him in our lives for, we think, such a short time. He's got a tremendous body of work that we can all go back and love and listen to and learn from, you know, as Matt so masterfully put together. Matt, you're brilliant, you know, put this whole thing together last week. We had such a great time. But Ray Charles was one of the most musical people I have ever met in my life.
Mm.
Every cell in his body was music.
Wow.
I mean, just from the first time he shook my hand, mm. I mean, it was just like this magic thing. I just felt, I felt this love and come into my world kind of feeling. And I never went out. You know, I loved his singing, I loved his playing, but his passion for music was what really drew me.
So, Ricky Skaggs, you know country so well and bluegrass so well. What did this man, Ray Charles, bring into that world, do with that world, country?
You know, he loved me because I loved bluegrass. That was the weirdest thing I was telling Matt. when I first met Ray, you know, I was singing country music and was having country hits, you know, at country radio, which really is different than bluegrass, you know, and... But the first thing Ray said is, "Oh, Ricky Skaggs, I love that bluegrass you play." Thought, Ray, I'm not playing bluegrass right now. You know? But he knew my background. He knew where my heart was. Even listening to the country, he could hear the roots. He could hear the foundation stones of what my music was being played at that time. And he loved Bill Monroe. Bill loved him. You know, so there was just this great exchange of appreciation for the different genres, but the soulfulness is what he loved. You know, he loved the heart and soul that I brought with bluegrass into his world. And when we did Friendship, he just, you know, he produced me, especially when I was doing my vocals and stuff, he'd sit in the control room, and I was trying to sing and kind of fit into Ray's world, and he wanted me to be in my world, you know, and do my bluegrass thing. Yeah. You know, he keeps saying, "Sang your bluegrass thing."
That thing. I love it.
You know? And, So, you know, I was thinking, oh, well, I thought you might want me to, you know. No, he wanted me to be original and be exactly who I was because he knew that, all of these different genres and all these different styles could coexist together.
Wow. The great Ricky Skaggs is with us. His new album out this week is Music to My Ears. Ricky, let's listen back to that. The 1984 Friendship, Ricky Skaggs and Ray Charles.
And if you're ever up a tree, just phone me.
All right, I'll call you Gillespie. And if you ever get a fire, send a wire. Huh?
And if you ever lose your teeth and you're out to dine, you can borrow mine.
All right, I will.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect little blend ship. When other friendships have been forgate, ours will still be great.
But Ricky Skaggs and Ray Charles having some fun there in 1984. But look, Ricky, the thing is, you know it as well as I do. I mean, I love Charlie Pride, you know, 6 Days on the Road and all that back in the day. But you look over time, there are not that many African-American artists who have sung country.
No, not that many, you know. And but Ray came into this, he brought himself into country music and brought country music out of country into his world. And I think, you know, if anybody should be in the Country Music Hall of Fame for the furtherance, for the promotion of country music and really being a pioneer, it should be Ray Charles.
Yeah, let's start a movement about that to get Ray in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. You know, I talked to Marty Stewart, as a matter of fact, on Tuesday when I got home, Monday actually when I got home. He's one that's on that committee there. And We both know what's going to happen. It's going to be a matter of time. I mean, there's some other people that kind of need to go in, you know, before that. But we all believe that it's going to happen sooner than later.
You know, you talked about the soulfulness that Ray Charles brought to everything, to country here. After all your years in the music business, Ray, does soul have a color? Is there a different, you know, tinge on it, depending, or not?
Soul is like God. He's colorblind. Mm. God doesn't look at color. He loves creativity, and that's part of who he is and what his nature is. But I just think that music is a language of the Father. I think that it's a language to the nations. I think it can heal the nations. It's like that. There's a great scripture in Jeremiah about the leaves, you know, of the tree that heals the nations. And I really think that's music. It's a language that everybody can speak. You know, my son was in Turkey in March this year, and tuck his fiddle down the street to trying to hear some music, and he went into this one place, and this guy was playing this Turkish saz and singing and doing his thing, you know. And he saw Luke sitting there, you know, with his fiddle and you know, in a case, and the guy just kind of motioned for him to come on up. Total language barrier. Couldn't speak the Turkish language, and the guy could not speak English. But yet Luke pulled his fiddle out and started playing. He wanted Luke to play a song, and so he just played this old kind of mountain song and this kind of worshipful thing, you know, and the spontaneous feeling out of his heart. And the guy from Turkey with the saz was sitting there and just crying. You know, at the end of the thing, Luke said, I looked up, and there's these big tears was dripping off of his face, you know. And so there's just something about the unspoken word that music can really heal and can really communicate with. And I just think, you know, every time I hear about a music program getting cut out of a school somewhere so that they can continue playing football or basketball, and, you know, don't get me wrong, I love sports. I think, you know, basketball and football is not going to heal the nations, but I think music can. Mm. I think it's just so important that those things get attacked first, you know, and I just think we really need to do everything we can to always keep music and the arts in school, because it's a great way for kids to be able to express themselves and have their thumbprint, you know, that they can leave, you know, to humanity.
God's thumbprint, maybe. Ricky Skaggs, you are always great. The new album out this week is Music to My Ears. Of course, back in the day, also singing with Ray Charles, and we're so grateful to you, Ricky, for coming on for a few minutes today. Thanks so much for joining us from Nashville.
Love you, Matt.
Bye-bye, Ricky. Love you, man. You're the best.
Matt Glazer, Alonzo Harris, please stand by. We'll go out with a little Ray Charles right here. I'll Never Stand in Your Way. Originally from Elvis Presley, you can join us today, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
I'll be blue when you go, but I'll never let it show.
and I'll never let it stand in your way.
I'll never stand in your way.
Oh, no. Your cheating heart will make you weep.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Talking today about Ray Charles and the blending of American musics. 50 years after the release of his line-crossing album Modern Sounds in Country and Western Music, Matt Glaser and Alonzo Harris from the Berklee College of Music are with us today, inspired by Ray, a big symposium just in the last week there, looking at all of this. Lines crossed, lines written, music made. You can join the conversation this hour. What do you think about what you hear from 1962? And I guess this, have we re-segregated our music after Ray and rock and roll on the other side of all that? Can you get past the schmaltz around Ray Charles here? Does it bug you? African Americans. What do you think of Ray singing white music? Did he make it his own? 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK is our number. As John writes to us, I was 12 years old and still remember the electric effect of Ray's version of Your Cheatin' Heart opened my eyes and ears. Maybe more. Greg writes, no one sang like Ray Charles. His phrasing was most unique and soulful. I loved his work in country music, but I loved it all. That phrasing, Alonzo, it's so Ray Charles. You know it in a half a minute, in a half a second when you hear it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, because there were already good songs. I mean, Quincy Jones said something once. He says, mm-hmm. What makes a hit is three things.
Mm-hmm.
The song, the song, the song. So if it's a good song already and you just put and you flip it and he does these inflections from his gospel mm-hmm. roots and the rhythm and blues, it just makes it that much better. Mm. It just gives us, again, a different perspective on the art form.
Mm.
The songs are already great. That's what he said. I like country because I like the stories, mm-hmm. which is kind of how I connect with Ray, because I actually like country music as well. I mean, I grew up in the gospel, you know, black church mm-hmm. kind of background. That's mm-hmm. where my music started.
Mm-hmm.
But then I began to venture out and began to key into lyrics and so forth. And mm. country was one of those genres that I really did like a lot.
You know, I like it too. I like it a lot, but I find myself gravitating older in it. I mean, I listen to country on the radio today, and the stories are still there, and I like that they're straightforward stories, as you were saying
it's
earlier.
Right, but that's
they're real.
Kind of like the blues.
But they can get all canned up in a lot of a new kind of schmaltz these days.
Music.
And it's
what's
very twangy again.
No. What's on the radio now is not country music. It's pop music with guys in cowboy hats. That's what people call it. So Hank Williams and George Jones and Lefty Frizzell and Merle Haggard, that's country music. Excuse me, but whatever's on the radio now is some product of some entertainment corporation, that the same people who make Velveeta cheese.
Right. It's like, you know, the people in the marketing,
exactly.
It's like in the suits and ties, the same people that market hamburgers. It's like,
can we sell this
okay,
community?
Well, those burgers are coming off the line. They're coming off the line like one every 2 seconds. Jerry in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Jerry, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air.
Hi there, guys. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. What a joyous occasion.
Yeah.
I was a 20-year-old musician in South Texas, San Marcos, San Antonio, Austin area at that time. And we were playing rockabilly, rock and roll, and really one of the guys, Roy Head, was really into the blues, and we were sneaking into the all-night predominantly black clubs listening to this kind of music, and we didn't have any preconceived notion or barriers about what music ought to sound like. But what a teacher Ray Charles turned out to be to all of us through that whole bit. We later wound up recording for an all-black label out of Houston, Don Robey's record, Peacock, and had a hit in 65 called Treat Her Right.
Could you?
He was a tough guy, Don Robey. He was a tough man.
Oh, man. Yes, he was. He was a marshal. Yes, sir. But what a great history that Ray Charles has left with us. Mm. And I was working with a pickup band that used to work the Grand Ole Opry tours through San Antonio and Austin at that time in my life. And then to... to hear Ray Charles and what he did with that music, because I was a big Hank Williams fan and Hank Snow fan and Don Gibson fan. Of course, my name's Gibson. I thought Don Gibson walked on water, too, you know? So, but to hear Ray Charles do it, I mean, like you said earlier, whatever he touched became his.
Jerry, and, you're great, and I appreciate your sharing so much. I've got more to go, but thank you for calling from Murfreesboro. And if I may, let me get one more right here. Watertown, Etta. Etta is calling. Hi, Etta, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Tom.
Yes.
This is such a pleasure. And it was such a revelation to me when I discovered that Ray Charles sang country. I heard him sing John Denver's Country Road, and I thought, this man can do anything. And on the same CD, this is back in the day CD, he sang John Lennon's Imagine and Paul McCartney's Hey Jude. He made them gospel songs. And the most amazing thing about Ray Charles is when he did a cover, he put his stamp on the song, and he knocked the original out of your head.
Well,
and to knock John Lennon and Paul McCartney out of your head, I think that says it all. He makes me cry every time I hear him.
Etta, you're so right. And Jerry as well, that stamp he puts on the song. Let's listen to a little example of that. Etta, thanks for your call. But here's You Are My Sunshine. Talk about a simple song. I mean, this was came to us from Louisiana man, former governor Jimmy Davis, wrote his own state song back in 1939, kind of peppy, country-flavored. Here's Jimmy Davis singing the original. We'll come to Ray. Here's Jimmy.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Jimmy Davis, 1939. Boy, my mother sang that song. She sang it like Jimmy Davis. Ray Charles sang it a little bit differently, took on that what he called the somewhat square Jimmy Davis tune, and gave it the heft of soul in 1962. Here he is from Modern Sounds in Country and Western. Ray Charles with You Are My Sunshine.
The other night, as I lay sleeping, oh, I dream I held you in my arms. Oh, but when I woke up this morning, I found out I was mistaken. Do you know that I hung my head and cried?
Wow. You talk about taking a simple song and turning it into something grand.
Completely abstracts the melody. If you sing the original melody along with that, well, he's boiled it down to some kind of essential elements that he found in that simple square melody. This actually is the opening track on Modern Sounds and Country and Western Volume 2.
Mm-hmm. Which so they, good they had to have
they,
more.
Well, they rushed into the studio. It's like, this is a huge hit. We got to do another one right away. Right.
Alonzo Harris, this sounds to me like a challenge to Quincy Jones. You quoted him, it's the song, the song, the song. Come on, this song.
Well, what he does here
is right. Something big.
Right, professor.
I still agree that the song holds strong, you know, because it's the storyline behind the song. However, what Ray does, he basically, how he abstracts the melody, he basically flips it like it were a congregational song in a black gospel church. And then the backgrounds come in. They come in like a choir. You are my sunshine. And he does this gospel, this black gospel thing with
call,
it.
Call, response.
Call, response. And the big band, they'll have the traditional elements of the big band there and with the arrangement. And it's like this amazing creation. It's so ingenious. It's crazy.
It is glorious. Sheila in Fort Washington, Maryland. Sheila, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much. I was listening to the program and really excited because, you know, Ray Charles in the African-American community, I believe he had established an authenticity with his music so that he didn't seem as though he was, you know, a sellout. He had his gospel roots, he had his blues roots, he had his jazz roots, so it became easier for the African-American community to embrace.
That's amazing.
When he began to come out with country music, although some, you know, question, you know, what direction is he taking? But when you look at it culturally and socially when you looked at someone like Charlie Pride or even Hootie with Hootie and the Blowfish, they maybe had more of a perception of being a minstrel and not being authentic in terms of who they were. Now, that was if I as an individual was an all-or-nothing kind of thinking person.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I matured, I began to embrace more grays and more blends.
Yeah, please don't be all or nothing with my Charlie Pride. Please. But I know what you mean, Sheila. Charles had such a stamp that was his own that you could not doubt his chops, his root.
And so we were able to say, go for it, Ray. You know, and even in looking at the movie, Ray, and you saw the difficulty with which the company boys were going to support his going into the country genre, he still knew what he wanted to do, and he presented it in such a way that it was universal.
Right, because he just put himself into that. Like, he did country music, but he put Ray into it.
Mm. And so strong. Sheila, I appreciate your call. I mean, this was before the I Have a Dream, March on Washington.
That's right.
This was before Civil Rights really got up and found its legs, and there he was, and able to do it. And reading back about this before you all came in, the concert tour that he went to with this music I'm reading here had black and white people aplenty, both in those audiences.
Well, this expanded his audience. Mm-hmm. You know, his entire career continued to expand his audience. So suddenly there were mixed audiences, and they were very also gigantic audiences.
We've got another interesting little connection here. We just got a note for a minute, because this is the day you hear it in the news that the singer Andy Williams has died. Now, Andy Williams, off on a different beam entirely, Moon River and all the rest. Yeah. But there is a little bit of a connection about where these guys ended up, Matt.
Well, Andy Williams ended up, he died in Branson, Missouri. Branson, Missouri has become this kind of megalopolis of retired country stars and a place for people to go to hear all kinds of quote-unquote country music. I mean, I have my own issues with this. I don't want to get into the whole my own problems with contemporary country music, but Andy Williams was an extraordinary singer, and it also connects to Ray through Nelson Riddle and the great singing of American popular song. They both had that trajectory.
Out of respect, Andy Williams won the Ray Charles beam here, but here's Andy Williams, Moon River.
Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday. You heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way.
How many karaoke boxes have been cranked up with that? Quite a few over the years, but it is a beautiful song. Did Ray Charles ever sing, ever cover Andy Williams on that?
I don't think he covered Moon River, no. But you know, it's funny, the first Ray Charles record I ever bought, I bought the same day. For 25 cents, I bought The Genius of Ray Charles and Andy Williams' Moon River from a guy standing on the street in New York City. 25 cents for great music.
Well, let yourself go, and Andy Williams can put the tear right in your eye with Moon River and a lot more. Tanya in Williamsville, New York. Tanya, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. I wanted to talk about or comment about what you were speaking about in terms of country music. Was there any blending going on in today's music? And I just say, when you talked about the song, the country song, It Must Be Jesus, and then Ray Charles did I've Got a Woman, to what Kanye West and Jamie Foxx recently did with Gold Digger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you also have Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish, who incorporates country music with his music, and then a really interesting artist, another African American artist, which is Robert Randolph and the Family Band.
Huge, and amazing, yeah.
Not only country but also bluegrass. So what I find is that I think the artists are open to embracing a lot of different genres of music and melding them, but I still think that radio segregates the various genres of music. So, and unfortunately, the younger people who are listening to music may perhaps still maybe won't be as embracing of what the caller Sheila had mentioned of, say, Hootie and the Blowfish.
You may be quite right. You've got a close ear on it, Tanya, and I appreciate your call. Let's have a little more Ray Charles as we think about that. Careless Love, again, off the 1962 album.
I say love, oh love, okay.
what have I done for you to hurt me all in fun?
Careless Love. Alonzo, he was not afraid to bring in all the emotion in the world.
Oh, no, not at all. When I listen to this stuff, it's like, you know, Sacred Harp singing. Mm-hmm. Like they used to say, like, it started out this off, the harp is the pure instrument, the mm-hmm. voice. Mm-hmm. It's the same inflection that I would hear old Baptist deacon down south line a hymn. Mm. Like, you know, like would take an old hymn by, you know, like a Lutheran hymn, mm-hmm. And just, you know, I love the Lord, he heard my cry, and pitied every groan. Like, change the whole thing, make this blues, like, line, almost like a Negro spiritual. Like, he does the same thing. He embodies the same kind of thing with these songs and how he does and how he flips them. And that's so amazing.
What a swing through there. What a rhythm through there. Just beautiful to hear. Man.
This is, Careless Love is one song on the album that's not a strictly country mm-hmm. song. It's a folk song.
Right.
We have records of Lead Belly doing that. It's one of these universal American forms.
Lead Belly with a much
form.
Raspier, kind of low delivery.
So sometimes Ray would do things that simplified from the original. Other times he would complexify from the original.
He made this one more urban.
Much more urban. Mm-hmm. So it, as they say, from the cotton field to the cotton club. Mm-hmm. When you listen to Lead Belly doing it, it's very rural. It's very much the elements of West African griot are present in this kind of American music.
It is a beautiful transformation to hear. And he knew how to work the commercial end. He went in all kinds of directions before it was over. It was in Branson with Andy Williams. He just died today, respect to Andy Williams. But what a passage, what a path along the way, country and so much more. Mm. Matt Glaser and Alonzo Harris at the Berklee College of Music, it's so great of you to bring all this to mind for us and to our ears as well. We thank you so much for being here today. Alonzo, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thank
and
you,
Matt,
Tom.
Matt, just great to have you.
What a blast. Let's just stay here and listen to Ray Charles for the rest of the day.
Listen.
Call, preempt everything else that's on NPR and tell them it's now going to be just Ray Charles 24 hours a
that's
day.
That's the way it's going to be.
Let's do it.
Bring Ray Charles down. Bye-bye, love, Ray Charles. Originally the Everly Brothers, but 1962, it was all Ray. Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Hello, emptiness. I think I'm gone.